Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the time of rejoicing before the Lord. And singing, the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. This day has given us a new song. And Lord, by the grace of God, we can make every day to be like that. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the sharing that I share with us of the word of God. Now, as we read further of your word now, Lord, bless the reading of his Father. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So the people of this world in general, they have a perception of the Lord Jesus Christ. All they know about him is about his humiliation. You know, when he came to this world as a man, to redeem man. See? That's what they know about him. Out of his mission, they know nothing about it. No, that he came to redeem us. They didn't know that. They are ignorant of the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and what they thought they saw, the scripture predicted of it and so on. He had no beauty that we should desire him. When he carried our sins and our transgressions, here upon the cross and so forth, And even the Jews, his ancient people, unto whom were given the oracles of God for us and so on. They missed that too. They missed him, They have all the scripture about him. They still missed him, And of course, God, in the providence, blinded them that might bring all the Gentiles in, right? So, this morning, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate and the glorified Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
More than the average man or even or the unbeliever, even the Jews and so on, the pre-incarnate and the glorified Christ. The pre-incarnation reveals the pre-existence of Christ before he ever came to this world. Many scriptures bear this out. Micah, the 5th chapter, one of them, the 2nd verse. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is to be the ruler in Israel. Here's where I'm going. Whose going forth, have been of old, from everlasting, the incarnate Christ, and so on, from everlasting. Well, the word everlasting, it's a word that the human mind can vaguely grasp. You can actually not be able to grasp that word everlasting. In fact, the Hebrew word for those words from everlasting, it means the days of eternity. That is the meaning, that is the legend in Hebrew. The days everlasting. So we can read that verse as mean that Christ has existed from the eternity that is behind us, So the pre-incarnate Christ, right? And the glorified Christ. So, talking of eternity now, who can understand even partially the meaning of eternity? Who can understand it? Not a human being can understand what eternity means. So, the thought staggers the imagination of any man, no matter how wise they are, and baffles the profoundest intellect of this world and so on. What that word eternity means and so on. And we are told in the Bible, there's only one place in the Bible where that word is even used, called eternity, is Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus say the I am lofty one that inhabited eternity. That's the only place in the Bible where that word is used like that, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. We see the Almighty God now. High and the holy place where he dwells. Yes, look at him. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Can I just bring President Biden here this morning? I can't. One of the kings of this world, but the one that inhabits eternity dwells in you and in me, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Wow, the wisdom of God, the Almighty God. None like unto him in heaven or in earth. Well, as the inhabitant of eternity, Christ holds the position of the Lord of the universe. In his own right, yes, Christ holds the position of the Lord of the universe in his own right. First of all, because he is the creator. He is the creator. John chapter 1 verse 3 says so. All things were made by him, meaning by the Lord Jesus Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16 says so. For by him, meaning the Lord Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, A-L-L, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. There you go, the pre-incarnate Christ. He is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Praise the Lord God. Christ is Lord of all for another important or cogent reason. I just show you one now. He is the creator of all things, right? And he is the Lord of the universe also because of another cogent reason. When sin enter into the universe and bid to despoil God's fair creation, which is man, until the whole creation now begin to groaneth and travaileth in pain together, we are told in Romans 8:22, only one person, and one only, we call him a person, and he, at infinite cost, could repair the damage that sin has caused to the human race. Only him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's the Lord of the universe, he's the creator of all things and so forth. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. To see how infinitely great this God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is, let's see how infinite some of his creations is and so on. Because he created all things, right? And now let's look at science a little bit here. Modern scientific discovery has enlarged the scope of the known universe. And we like what they say, known, right? There are many universes, right? They are only fighting upon the one they know, right? You know, and yet there are many. Bible says visible and invisible, right? Mm-hmm. That's why, praise the Lord. You know, so they are even fighting over the one they know. They don't even know there are infinite other galaxies. They don't even know they don't even know nothing about. Anyway, so modern scientific discovery has enlarged the scope of the known universe over a million fold that we used to know before. The Daniel 12:4 say knowledge has increased, right? So, and that is happening right in our day. So anyway, talking about one of the creations of God, with the universe itself and so on, powerful telescopes have proved the distant galaxies. And when they see these far away galaxies, they just see them as points of light. You know, that's all they can see. Because they are so remote, they are so far away, they look like points of light. Yet, each of these galaxies, that is the point of life, is composed of millions of flaming suns, many perhaps attended by unknown planets. Talking about the greatness of even the creation, not talking about the creator himself. We are exalting the creator, you see, and just showing one of his creation, you know, the universe itself and so on, like, you know. So, this is the, what they see, they're like, points of light, they are gigantic things and so on, many of them have many unknown planets attending them, and each of them, millions, and in some cases, billions of light, away from here and so on, of course, we know a light year is what? A light year is 6 trillion miles, approximately 6 trillion miles. One light year is the distance light will travel in 1 year at 186,000 miles per second, right? So these galaxies and so forth, that I look at the point of light, they are so tiny, but they are gigantic things and so on. Many of them have many suns, more bigger than our own and so on, and they have many planets attending to them and from that, you know, how great our God is and so on, you see? So we are saying that, said another way, some of these galaxies, they are so remote that they are millions of trillions of miles distant from here and so on, that you know, that from where we are. And science continue on the path of more discovery. Till they can find the end of the universe, they cannot find it. It's so infinite, you know. And up till recently, they have only one big telescope, you know, we call it the Hubble telescope. It was created to look into the nether regions of the universe, the bottom part of the universe. That's what the Hubble telescope was designed to do. He has shown that God allowed them to do something like that, to see its magnificence, to see how great He is. That's why He allowed them to create all these things and so on. At the end of last year, like I said, science keep on discovering, right? December 25 last year, they now launched the greatest telescope ever. And that telescope is called the James Webb Telescope. It's been in building for 30 years. It cost $100 billion. And it was launched. And they succeeded. That telescope is now orbiting the Earth at a distance of 1 million miles away from here. It's orbiting the sun like our Earth is orbiting the sun. Now, their intention, according to NASA, is that you may now see what the Hubble could not see. The atheists among them, they say, want to see the beginning of the Big Bang. What is the Big Bang? There's no such a thing like that. Praise God. They will never find anything like that, you know. So, you see, now, but we're showing how great the universe is and how by the creator there. So anyway, so the rationalist, to the rationalist, the universe has become too big for God to create it. That's for the universe. That they say, oh, they rationalize. This is too big, you know. If that is designing, I'm going to be a designer, amen? Praise the Lord. It is so precise and so wonderful, like no other thing in the whole world itself and so on. The sun, the earth knows to rotate around the sun, 365 days. Look at your clock. Everything is so precise as the earth rotates around its axis. Precision, you know, they can predict eclipses. Why? Because the heavens are precise, amen? They can tell you where the next eclipse will be. How? Because the heavens are so precise, you know? So anyway, so we see. Now, so the atheist reduces his philosophy to the absurdity that dead matter created itself. You know, they think this thing we see come from dead matter. That's what the atheist is thinking. So, and instead of them beginning with God and working down that He is the creator of all, now they begin from the bottom, trying to think they can reach the creator. It's so absurd, isn't it? Bible say, the manifold wisdom of God and so on is foolishness to man, right? Where to also believe, as you consider the heavens, the majesty of the heavens, and the boundless extent of the universe, all we can say is bow in reverence, and the songwriter say, oh God, how great thou art. That's what the believer, praise the Lord. When we see the expanse of the heavens. In fact, the Bible says, if you can measure the heavens above, if you can, nobody can do it, amen, praise God. No scientific invention will ever be able to do it, and so on, that, you know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So just the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate, and then the glorified Christ, the end of time. Now, just as the universe is a miracle, the incarnation is another mystery, quite beyond the capacity of the natural man to understand. The natural man receiving all the things of God, right? They are foolishness unto him, right? Because they have to be spiritually discerned. Praise the Lord. That the Bible says. So you have to be discerned. So the incarnation is another mystery, quite beyond the capacity of the natural man to understand. The incarnation was and is a miracle. It's a miracle. And even the universe itself is a miracle. So we know that according to the word of the Lord. So, but given what I've told you about the universe, just now, the immensity of it, it's not the universe together, a miracle by itself. Yeah, absolute miracle. Well, did it come to existence out of nothing? Absolutely not. See, God's word told us how everything came into being. Right from the book of beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's it. You know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. As far as the finite mind of man is concerned, that word beginning and so on to us is an eternity behind us. It's immeasurable to man. Praise the Lord. Amen. So don't fight some Christian with say, oh, They asked what he made 6,000 years ago. And 6,000 years ago, what happened was a recreation after a devastation when God wiped out what was there before Adam. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? So, the heart was in here 6,000 years. Bible said the heart itself was of old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, and the Lord Jesus created all these things. So, we see right there. And even in Hebrews 11:3, if I'm wondering how these things were created by the word of God, Bible says through faith. You understand? That the words God put earth there, words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God's word tells us how it was done. You see, the word of God created all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why the finite cannot hope to comprehend fully the infinite. God is infinite, see? And the man is finite, right? God did not intend that the purpose of Christ coming to this world should remain a mystery. God revealed it to him. So the condensation of deity with the miracle of the incarnation links God to man by blood. God condescended himself, the creator of all the heaven and earth. We are so inhabit eternity, yet he dealt with the home, right? That condensation and so on, coming down and so on, that will scale himself down and so on, that, you know, to come and redeem us and so on, you know. So, you know, so with that idea. And so in Hebrews 3:11, we are told, so Christ became our elder brother. So his condensation for us is a miracle, and he became our elder brother. God, that's to the believer now. The Lord Jesus, by coming down and shedding his blood for all, become our elder brother. So, and the Bible tells us that. So we are linked. The incarnation links God to man by blood. The incarnation, God coming in the flesh, links God to man by blood. In Acts 20, we are saved by the blood of God, right? We are told in Acts 20. So that's what the Bible says. Now, more scripture about that the Lord Jesus is our elder brother. When I say our, I mean the believer, the church of the living God. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. See, the Almighty God calling you and my brethren is our elder brother. He's our God, he's our creator, he's our elder brother too, you know, and so on that, you know. And we are told that in verse 14 of the same book, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So so the incarnation, links God to man by blood. Ephesians 5:20 says this, for we believers are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is a great mystery in verse 32 of Ephesians. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. See, it's our elder brother. You know, the incarnation links God to us by blood. Now, the humility of him, meaning the Lord Jesus, who emptied himself of his pre-incarnation attributes, you know, and became very man, became man, is not less awe-inspiring than his infinite exaltation. See, it isn't. You know, let me say that again. I say the humility of him. Do you see, like, you say, I'm lowly and meek, right? He is the Almighty God, right? He said, learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly, you know, a man and so on. And you shall receive peace to your soul and all that, you know. So it's humility to have emptied himself of his pre-incarnation attributes and became very man is not less awe-inspiring than his infinite exaltation. Man has indeed proven beyond all shadows that he cannot save himself. Vainly, man tries to lift himself to heaven by his boot heels. He wanted to lift himself to heaven and so forth. You know, he couldn't do it. God became man that he might save man 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us, talking about the pre-incarnation of Christ and the glorified Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ. See that? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Christ only has immortality, we are told. I don't care what man does or tries to do to preserve himself. Christ only has immortality. Man can't save himself. 2 Timothy 6:16 says so. And Christ only, Christ has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. Christ is the only answer to the world is. In him alone, the Lord Jesus, is the secret of redemption. In him alone, the Lord Jesus, is the power to regenerate fallen human nature and to heal and restore the sin-sick soul. See? So, now, let's begin to talk of how he even showed himself. Bible revealed him in the pre-incarnation and he revealed in the glorified state. Now, let's see the appearance to Abraham in a theophany. A theophany is God appearing in the form of a man. That's a theophany. In John 8:56, the Lord told the Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And the Lord said in verse 58 unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was a young, the pre-incarnation. We just see appear here. He was before, you can't even measure me. It's infinite. So it was before Abraham and so on. Talking about the incarnation of Christ, right? He appeared to Abraham in Theophany. What the Lord talking about here? Back in the book of Genesis. What the Lord is referring to 18. And they quickly read that because he told them, before Abraham, what I am, the Lord said, the pre-incarnation, he appeared to Abraham in the Theophany, God in the flesh. And Genesis 18:1. And the Lord appeared unto him, meaning to Abraham, you see that? And in the place of Mamre. And he sat, in the tent door, in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him, meaning by Abraham. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. He was a prophet. There were three of them appear, three men appear. He didn't say, Lord. He said, my Lord. Could I say, my Lord, right? He said, my Lord was a prophet. And God's word is revealed to the prophet, right? How do you know he's a prophet? At one time, one king took his wife, meaning Sarah, God said, you are a dead man. Later, he talked to him, his wife, and said that, Oh, you are a dead man. He's my prophet. Praise the Lord. He was a prophet. So he knew that he wasn't. So one of them was God. God in the flesh. And so he bowed down and worshipped him. Now verse 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. And wash your feet. And rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread. And comfort ye your heart. After that, ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And he said, so do as thou said. Verse 8 says, and he took butter that they have prepared for them, and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they ate. No, I read that. God Almighty, he ate butter. Amen. He ate calf. He is the Almighty. Amen. There's no limit to him. Praise the Lord. That's why I read that. Yeah, he's the Almighty God. He's infinite, So, yes, Abraham, the judge will see his day, and he was glad. So, he was talking to the Jews, and so on. Now, that's in the Theophany, right? The pre-incarnate Christ. Now, let's see another pre-incarnation, appearance of Christ and so forth. the chain of Abraham, you know, marched through the wilderness. You know, God appeared in fire to them. In Exodus 13, 21, we read, and the Lord, watch it, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. The Lord did. That word, when you say capitalized Lord in the Old Testament, it means Jehovah. Praise the Lord. It means Jehovah, the Jehovah God of the Old Testament, is the Jesus of the New, right? So, and the Lord means Jehovah went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire, that same Lord, you know, to give them light to go by day and night. Not only that, see, the Lord himself appeared in the pillar of fire. He has infinite ways of appearing. This is before the incarnation life. Infinite ways of appearing and something like that, you know. To Abraham, in the theophany life. To God's child and the Israel of Israel, right here in the pillar of fire and of the cloud. Even in Exodus 19, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in the thick cloud. God come in the thick cloud now to the children of Israel. That the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Look at verse 18. And Mount Sinai was all together on a, you know, on a smoke. Why? Because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the old man quaked greatly. Praise the Lord. He can appear any form he wants and so on. To Abraham in the theophany, here in the pillar of fire. And the whole of Mount Sinai was altogether in the smoke. Because God, the Almighty, the Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the new, died upon it in fire. Now, let's see more of his appearances before the incarnation. To Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 6. Yes, it's going forth as being of old, right? In the eternity behind us. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, see? I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. And the train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. These seraphim are special angels that worship around the throne of God. They are so holy. But when they were before God, they had to cover their faces, amen? Before the holy God, the holy angels had to cover their faces to remove before the holy God, the holy of, you know, the holiest of all. See? Praise the Lord. How we ought to reverence ourselves and be in reverence before him at all times. Anyway, and one of verse 3, and one cry unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole heart is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King God, the Lord of hosts. Amen. God appearing in that vision to Isaiah. This prophet is a special prophet. So this vision of the Lord had a most powerful effect upon Isaiah. He became conscious of his own uncleanliness and undone condition. But when the seraph touched down the chapter, when one of them touched his lips with the coal of fire from the altar of God, that vision, he received a new spiritual experience. Isaiah did. What happened to him? And when the Lord gave the invitation or a call for service, Isaiah said, look, here I am, Lord, send me. He responded, down the chapter and so on, you know. And God accepted his offer to be his messenger. So, and from there, Isaiah went on to write a complete Bible. Yes, right. Even symbolically, 66 chapter of Isaiah. The same number of chapters in the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. Isaiah wrote 66 chapters. At least it was a whole Bible. And it covered almost all the ground. From the incarnation and so on, he prophesied of it through the millennium. It's in those books and so on like that, you know, one way or the other. If you know how to read it and so on like that, you know. So we see that there. Isaiah began writing sometime after Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah have published their prophecies. But his own prophecy was put ahead of them. Now you understand the mystery. This Bible, the way they are not arranged in chronological order. See what I'm saying? That's why the book of Job, some can understand it to be the oldest book. So Joel, Obadiah, and Hosea, then they wrote their prophecy before Isaiah. But look at the Bible, Isaiah was put before them. And the reason is clear. So because his prophecy, is largest, more than them all. Well, they even call them minor prophets, right? Some call them minor prophets and so on. Anyway, and his book has most in it of him. It has most of the Lord Jesus in him, in that book of Isaiah. To whom all the prophets bore witness, the Bible says. And indeed, so much of Christ is in the book of Isaiah that many justly call it the evangelical prophet. Why? Many people, even the ancients, they called Isaiah the fifth evangelist. Meaning when you count Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, Isaiah, you know, because he wrote so much about Christ from the pre-conception and all of that, you know. So they call it the messianic prophet, you know. He was and all of that, you know. Now, here in the vision of the Lord that Isaiah saw, he saw God upon his throne. And that throne is high and lifted up, not only above all other thrones, and it transcends them, but this throne was over all other thrones, as it rules and commands any other kind of a throne. See, high and lifted up, right? It was a throne of glory before which we must worship. This throne where God is sitting, a throne of government, under which we must be subject. A throne of grace to which we may come boldly. Amen? As I saw those things in the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of that, you know. And the pre-incarnate Christ, right? This throne is high and lifted up above all competition and contradiction. Can't contradict this and so on. The throne of God. As I saw, what did he see? He saw Adonai. That was what he saw. God's dominion. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. That was him he saw. See, in that vision. The pre-incarnate Christ. Christ in the pre-incarnate state. For so our Lord himself explained to us in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 41, that it was him that, as I saw, here is what he said in John 12, 41. These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, see that he saw the glory of God and so on. It was Christ that he saw. And spake of him. See, the Lord confirming that book that he saw him. The Adonai, God. See? And this is an incontestable proof of the divinity and pre-existence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just the one book like that and so on. The evangelical prophet wrote all the things, you know. Now, let's see more of the pre-incarnation of Christ. Habakkuk the prophet saw the vision of the Lord, talking about the pre-incarnate and the glorified Christ. Habakkuk, vision of the Lord. Habakkuk 3:3. God came from Tema, where, you know, he said many things. He had that Tema come from the south, you know. And the Holy One from Mount Paran. That Sinai desert area right here, you know. Say that. His glory covered the heavens and the heart was full of his praise. What glory? His glory is the visible splendor of bright cloud that overshadow Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration, of which we are going to have more to say in a few minutes to come. That glory was referred to as the excellent glory in the book of Peter 1, verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3, you know, so that same glory that Habakkuk saw. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that excellent glory, what Habakkuk saw, and its brightness was as the light. He had arms coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. So his brightness was as the light of the sun when it goes forth in his strength. And the margin of that horn coming out of his hand, the margin says this, the margin Bible says this, the bright beams coming out of his side or hand, they were beams of light of glory, blinding light to the unbelieving. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the elect of God are going to get used to that light. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, so we see Habakkuk right there, saw the vision of the Lord. Daniel the prophet saw the Lord in the pre-incarnate state also, you know. So on the 24th day of the month, Daniel was by the great river Hiddekel. Hiddekel, same thing as the river Tigris in Babylon, see, or Iraq if you want. And he saw a vision of a supernatural being. It takes us to read it in Daniel 10, verse 4. And in the 4th and 20th day of the fourth month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, and that is Tigris, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, look at the description, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ophir. His body also was like a berry, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. See? And his arms and his feet like a color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. So when the unbelievers see him here, they come and take away our sins. When they saw him wept, when Lazarus died, when they had a crown on top upon his head, they don't know who they were looking at, the immortal God that came in the flesh and so on. But the Bible describes to us what he looked like before the humiliation. That is the glory of the cross. People only see the shame of the cross. They don't see the glory at all. We're going to talk about the glorified Christ very soon. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, I, Daniel, I don't saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. Another mystery of God. You can hear a multitude right here. God can show you things that people around you can't see. God can speak audibly to you now, and none of us will hear about it. Amen?
Amen.
He is God. You can't limit him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's just stand in awe of him and just worship him for who he is. The eternal one, the almighty, the ancient of days. See? Praise the Lord. And at one time, he told the people, he said, because I see, I told you all the things you believe. Greater things that we show you that you may know. Amen? You're going to show you the best. At the age end, greater things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, so Daniel only saw the vision. Those who are with him didn't see anything. And, what happened to him? They fled away to hide themselves. See? Sit down. And the unbelievers can't stand the glory of God. Amen? Only the elect can stand the glory of God. Amen? Even Daniel here couldn't do it at that time and so on. Anyway, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet had I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in the deep sleep of my face, and my face toward the ground. So now this mighty personage that Daniel saw was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the pre-incarnate state. Praise the Lord. And we have to use Bible to explain Bible, right? So this is verified by the fact that the disciples, the description of this personage fit perfectly to the vision, I mean, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ when he appeared to Apostle John 600 years later on the Isle of Patmos. See? So that's how we know, you know, no scripture is ever of private interest. Don't forget and so on. If you can't find it in the scripture, forget it, said the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. No scripture is of private interpretation. Don't forget that. You know, so I always say that all the time. So let's verify that was Christ that appeared to Daniel right here. Revelation chapter 1. As you listen to this reading, and what you have read in the book of Daniel, you can see the two persons, you know, it's only one person each, you know, appear in different dispensations, 600 years apart, you know. Anyway, Revelation 1:12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, just like Daniel had that voice and so on. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and guard about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his ears were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice at the sound of many waters. Daniel said he had it as the voice of a multitude, right? The same, go and compare the two scriptures I don't have here that I gave here and see if there's any difference and so on like that, you know. 600 years have passed, you know, they pre-incarnate and they glorify Christ right here, you know, so that you know. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I felt at his feet as dead. Wasn't that Daniel's experience? The same thing, the same God. Doesn't he say, I am the Lord that changes not, Malachi? He said it in Malachi. Say, I am the Lord that changes not. So when even John saw him and saw the same experience, felt as dead. See, telling all the same, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on, appearing here, you know, as he did to Daniel and so on. So, and he said, I dead. And he said, I raised right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the key of hell and of death. Praise God. No Christian need to fear hell or death. The Lord has the keys of it, amen. Don't let us threaten you with anything. It's a powerless, defeated foe, amen. Don't you ever forget. The only power Satan has is what you give through to him, through, if he listens to you, to deceive you. That's the only power. Or fear. You know, rather than that, you know, that's all the power he has. Anyway, why Daniel's vision revealed Christ in his pre-incarnate state? The vision of, you know, to John, Revelation 1, show the Lord Jesus Christ, the same person, in the glorified state after the resurrection. Praise the Lord. Both visions are strikingly similar. If you read the two passages together, you can see it for yourself. Now, those around Daniel, at the time of the vision, were terrified by the supernatural happening and fled from the scene. Daniel 10:7 says so, as we read before. And another instance, where the Lord appeared to another apostle Paul at his conversion. The same Lord posed after his resurrection and glorified Paul. So the same way, the companions of Paul, when he received the vision of the glorified Christ on the way to Damascus to go and torment the Christians and so forth, were likewise, they were frightened. Those who were with Paul, they were frightened and following his Paul's report, Paul's own testimony before Agrippa, you know, of his own conversion. In Acts 26, 13 verse. At midday, O King God, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Can you imagine? At midday, the light shone, the glory of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The sun is like darkness. It's just like darkness. It's like I mean, it outshines the sun. Amen?
Amen.
Because the creator is the creator, right? The sun has to shut off a little when you are shut off and so on. So, right at midday and so on, you know. You know that what he says, you know, and so round about me. And then, which journey with me, he said. And when we were off, when we were off falling to the earth, like people that we done in life, falling to the earth, I had a voice speaking unto me, if you are doubting, the glorified Christ. Come in that light, you know, the light of destiny, you know. And so, you know, I had a voice speaking unto me and saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the priest, he said. Come out of that light, Jesus Christ, the glorified, in the glorified form and so on. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Praise the Lord. So there's no doubt about it and so on. It came, the light and so on, that you know. I'll shine the sun, even at noon time, you know, and so on, that you know. Because the creator of all things. So we see, he gave Paul his commission right there. We just keep the rest of the thing. But we're seeing that same one, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the glorified hope, appeared to him like that and so on. The same voice that spoke out of the fire on Mount Sinai, and 2 million people heard him. Yeah, when he spoke in Exodus 19, 2 million people heard him when he speak out of that fire, right? That same voice came out of that light and spoke to Apostle Paul that day. Praise the Lord. The same and the eternal one. See? The pre-incarnate and the glorified Christ. Now, let's even see. Even when he was here, and so on, and he showed forth in a way, you know, of his glory, when he will be glorified and so on. So, and so now, in the Mount of Transfiguration, in Matthew 16, verse 28, verily I say unto you, there are the some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He told the disciples that way and so on, that, you know. And in Matthew 17, about the first few verses, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain. When it's after 6 days, what is he talking about? 6 days after the great confession, he has asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? Well, some say that you are Isaiah, or some say you are John the Baptist, and so on, risen from the dead. But who do you say I, the Son of Man, is? Simon Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said that Christ is the anointed one, the expected Messiah. Praise the Lord. And the Lord Jesus says, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Praise the Lord. So after that great confession, then he took them up. After 6 days, right? After the great confession, took them up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And let's see what happened in there. And verse 3 says, verse 2. And it was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. See, all the time, whether he appeared in the in the pre-incarnation and so on, want to show himself as he was in the pre-incarnation, as the prophet saw that we have been reading all day long, you know. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elijah, and Elijah, and talking with him. So what have we seen here? Thus we see that the Lord, 6 days before, had already told the disciples and imitated them, meaning he familiarized with them, of the event of the transfiguration. What is the transfiguration? It's a scene that indeed contains in miniature the element of the kingdom of God. He told them that there are some of you sitting here as not taste of death until they have seen the kingdom of God, right? And he took them up. And the transfiguration actually is a manifestation in a miniature form of the kingdom of God. Why do we say that? We can say that because look at the people that were there. You know, first of all, there is the Lord Jesus himself, when he was transfigured, God, not in the humiliation form now, but in the glorified form. That was what he was, and actually, and so on. And so we see right here, he was transfigured and so on. His face shined as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. Not only that, the miniature of the kingdom of God, right? There was Moses. Moses representing the righteous dead who are resurrected. See? A miniature of the kingdom of God. And who will enter the kingdom, resurrection and so on. Who had passed through death into the kingdom. Then we saw Elijah representing the redeemed who will enter the kingdom by translation. 1 Corinthians 15 says so, and chapter 4 says so. So Elijah representing those people and so on. Not only that, there were the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, representing Israel in the flesh during the kingdom age. See, a miniature of the kingdom of God, a matter of transfiguration. Not only that. That would be, so we see the did that and so on. There were also multitudes at the foot of the mountain, we were told. Those represent the nations who were to be brought into the kingdom of God after Israel is established. See? So it's a miniature kingdom of God manifested in the matter of transfiguration and so on. Including God's word. Anyway, the vision drew aside the veil for the moment, as it were, and gave the Lord himself a view of the glory which he had given up, that he might redeem you and me. He might redeem mankind. And the glory that he will regain after the sufferings were over. And the Lord himself, in his prayer, in John 17, what I'm saying right now, how he said, and he prayed, 17:5 of John. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I have with thee before the world began. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Right here, before the world began, the pre-incarnate. And now he quickly, in a flash of light, he just show himself in the glorified form, even the future form as well as you know. That glory has been with him before the world ever was made. See, the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. I'm going to wrap up right now. So now, let's see one or two more. The account of Christ after his coronation, we move to the future now and readiness for the judgment of Armageddon. Let's see how it appears. The glory form right now, we already passed the resurrection and so on, that you know. At some time, Adam's list will run out. What list? When he committed treason and transferred the dominion of the heart to Satan. Luke 4 tells us so. I say, this thing have been given unto me. Satan said, and bow before me and so on, you know, and the Lord. Anyway, so his list will soon run over. And, and Satan's dominion over the nation will end. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Praise the Lord. That is the age we are living in right now. So in the prophetic sequence, here is what's going to happen. The rapture of the first fruit will take place. That is followed by the reign of the Antichrist. Then the great tribulation will be in that Antichrist system. There will be the darkening, part of the great tribulation, the Bible says, there will be a darkening of the sun and the moon. And then will come the sounding of the seven trumpet angels. These are judgments, you know. The trumpets are judgments and so on that, you know. Set forth successfully the judgments, bringing in the great day of the Lord. Where there to be a time of judgment because, at the sounding of the trumpets mark the time for judgments to come. Rapture has been done, gone. The things have already been translated and so on that, you know. So anyway, the seven trumpets inaugurate the reign of Christ. There are seven trumpet angels, right? So the seventh one inaugurates the reign of Christ. How do we know that? It has to be in the Bible, right? The seven trumpets span time and takes us into the world to come when Christ and his saints shall reign forever and ever. Indeed, at the time of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, what happened? Christ has taken to himself his great power and has reigned. Nevertheless, till now, his reign has been disputed by the beast and the false prophet. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet angel, there are seven trumpet angels, right, bringing judgment upon the earth and so on. These wicked beings, the Antichrist, the triumvirate of evil, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, you know, their reign will end. Like I said, hidden list will run out, you know. And they will be destroyed. And Christ's sovereignty over the kingdom of the world will be restored. So let's look at the Bible I'm talking about, Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel, that is the trumpet angel now. See, there are seven of them, beginning from Revelation 8, you know, and so on. So the seventh seal, usher in the seven trumpets. That was happening in the Bible, Revelation 8 says so. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and are to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. See? When the Lord takes the kingdoms over, then he will become the King of Kings, and he will become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as he always was anyway, and receive many crowns. Let's see that another form of his appearing now, the glorified form of Christ. When showing that one, Revelation 19, verse 11 tells us, see the glorified form in different forms. And so, and I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Look at verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Look at all of the glorified form of Christ. You know, and so on that, you know. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God, amen. He is the Word of God. His name is the Word of God, amen. John 1:1 said, the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, right?
Amen.
His name is also the Word of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How do we say so? And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white lining, fine lining, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he telleth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he had, you know, on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He is the glorified Christ and so on. We see for the pre-incarnation, see the different appearances and so on. We can't cover a lot of it and so on. Even the epistle tell us in 2 Thessalonians, as I write up here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you, comfort the saints here now. And to you, all of us, the saints of all ages and so on. And to you, who are troubled, rest with us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are thinking everything will just be like this forever. No. For rejecting Christ, that's a penalty for rejecting Christ, right? We have to tell this word, right? Who shall be punished, you know, the unbelieving and so on, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall to us now, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, amen, Praise the Lord. Now there, to be admired in all them that believe, because we believe our testimony, which is the gospel and so on, in that day. Wherefore also we pray, the Bible says, always for you, the Paul, Apostle Paul, wrote by divine inspiration, that our God will count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. That's a benediction to you and I, who believe, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. I don't need to explain that. Just record. So now, and the testimony and prophecy of John the Baptist, as I close with this one. John the Baptist and so on, that you know, his testimony and the prophecy that he gave. In John, they have been asking him, Are you the Christ? I'm not the Christ and so on. Who are you then? If you're not the Christ, why are you baptizing? Why are you baptizing? Then, the paraphrase what he was saying, first John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day, John said Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 38 verse 8. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. That's not all. Preferred before him, right? And he was before me. How can he be before him unless he was here before the foundation of the world? We know from biblical history that John the Baptist, the angel came to Mary 6 months after John the Baptist had been praying, in the womb, right? How can he now, how can now Christ be before him? Can you see that now? See, he was a prophet too now. The prophet that is the prophet prophesied all. You know, that he prepared the way of the Lord and so on. He said, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. See? He said Christ was before him. How could it be? It has to be because he knew he was a prophet, right? Amen. You know the Isaiah that prophesied of him coming to be a voice in the wilderness as prophesying of Christ also. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, so we see Matthew 3:11. See further testimony and prophecy and so on. He prophesied too, you know, in a way. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize, that is prophecy now, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And truly enough, at the birth of the church, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in the verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven out of a rushing mighty wind, and he filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Bible says we battle with the Holy Ghost and fire, right?
Yes.
And he sat upon each of them. No, those tongues of fire, they have one sword, you know, and he sprang up into 120. Amen? There are 120 of them right there. Out of the same fire. There are tongues of fire spring out of there. If there are 1 billion people there, that fire is eternal. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's infinite inside. If the old world were to be there that time, that tongue of fire will be upon every one of them. And yet, it's for the same one source. Amen? That pillar of fire that led elective Israel through the wilderness, came into that upper room and so on, and spring forth and so on, one source and so on. Sat upon every one of them. And you and I today, from that time on, millions and so forth, have had that same experience, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, that same infinite one, I tell that prophesy that even though he has eternity, he dwell with the emperor, he said, I will dwell in you. He is dwelling in you in the Holy Ghost today, amen?
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. I will show how great he is, how infinite he is, and yet he's dwelling in you and I. What can't you overcome, brother and sister? Amen?
Amen.
Praise. What can you not overcome? Nothing. Nothing shall be impossible unto you with Christ in you. Let us pack it all this way and so on. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That throne that I saw, in my throne. And even as I also overcame and I've sat down with my father in his throne. The church is in travail now. The church is in back pain. You know, the man child is about to be born. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 12 says so. It's in travail. I tell that, you know, and when that evil beast system has started to devour her, was caught into heaven. Where did he go to? Into the throne of God. Amen. Revelation 12:5. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are living that era of time now. To be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Now, so it that overcometh, how do you overcome now? So you see, the way the Lord did it. In John 15, verse 4. To overcome, abide in me, and I in you. See, Bible says abide in the Lord and so on, you know. And verse 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Way to overcome and so on, that you know. In 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I was talking about that greater one all day long. Look at the different appearances and so on. So, and he is in you. As I say so, all the prophecies and so on, you know. Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, right?
Amen.
You are called to be an overcomer, in it, and you can overcome, even as the Lord overcame. He says that what he is in you to make you to be an overcomer. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
In Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You see, that's the secret of overcoming, amen? Don't look at yourself now, look at him who is in you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest of all, amen?
Amen.
So through him, that love does. So no matter what you are confronted with, bad faith is ongoing right now. Do you ever wonder all the things you face from day to day in this world, mainly because you are a Christian, because you have that eternal destination and so forth, and the coming of the Lord right now, the bad faith is on, time not to be discouraged, but to be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says, listen, when you have overcome them already, you already warned us in the book of John. See, in the world, you have tribulation. Amen? But be of good cheer for I have overcome the world. Amen? Just learn to use that overcoming power of he that is in you, who is greater than he that is in the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for so much loving us, O Lord God, even right before the foundation of the world. Lord, you promise us, you say, I will come and take my abode in you. And we are all witnesses today, Lord, that you are in us and you are taking your abode in us. And we are more than conquerors through you that love us. Lord, thank you for making us to live in this era, which kings and prophets foresaw and they desire that we should live in this time. But the Holy Ghost said to them, where you wrote it, not unto you, a people to come at the end of the age, upon whom the end of the world will come. And we are in that age now, Lord. So, Lord God, we thank you, we bless you, we worship you. Let our eyes daily be opened, Lord. And like our sister was saying earlier in the service today, he has volume to tell us out of this Bible. The Holy Ghost will expand this into us. The Bible says, in his word, does he meditate day and night, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Ghost will expand it. When he shall come, the Spirit of truth, he will put into remembrance of all that I have spoken to you. He will even show you things to come. Lord, so therefore, Lord, help us to take that time, Lord, and to listen to the Lord. Like our sister said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, the Bible says, you shall hear a voice in all your difficulties, whatever you may have, a voice telling you, here is the way, walk it down in it. Grant it to all of us, Lord, to listen. There are many voices, and that's not without signification. In the name of the Lord, my sheep, they hear my voice, and stranger they will not follow. So therefore we thank you, the good shepherd. So we worship and adore you, Lord, as we go this morning, Lord. See the almightiness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is dwelling in us. Then we go here as more than conquerors, in the name of the Lord. Whatever we are facing, I, the Lord, will make the crooked places straight, said the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ye of good comfort, thus said. Fear thou not, and with you, in the name of the Lord. I will open your eyes, I will give understanding, even of things more than ever before, because my coming draweth nigh. Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.